I'll start off by saying I'm sorry about my voice. I woke up like this morning. I don't know if it's the dry air or what, but maybe Luke and Enrique were trying to sabotage me. I'm not quite sure, but we'll see what we got. I tried to get them to see if they could auto-tune me when I first got in here, but that didn't work either, so here I am. Like she said, my name is Brennan Teddy, and I'm a master's student under Dr. Kendra Kirk at Clemson University at the Edisto Research and Education Center. And this discussion is going to be on estimating post-picking cotton losses from RGB drone imagery. So the objectives of this study were to quantify post-picking losses from low-altitude RGB imagery. And one thing I want to focus on this first point is, I say post-picking. The next slide we're going to go for something that strays a little bit from that, but we'll be coming back to it. With those losses, we want to be able to develop linear regression models to predict and quantify losses. And again, here you'll see picker generated. So far we've said post-picking and picker generated. Those are two important points that I'm going to come back to. And finally, we want to hit up the economic value of these picker generated losses. Study background. This is what I was talking about. I keep saying picker generated, post-picker, all this stuff. This study was actually inspired by the back-to-back hurricanes that hit the East Coast last year, which were Michael and Florence. And a few posters, a few presentations I sat in earlier, both mentioned that they had had devastating effects from these hurricanes, some to the point where they were not able to collect all their data. So this helped us because we saw our fields and we said, man, you know, that's a lot of cotton. What if we could use this as something for an insurance adjuster or some, you know, a faster way to go out there and say how much of this cotton is on the ground? And one sort of thing that you do have to hold constant with this that isn't perfect is you have to assume that all the cotton is on the ground is from that storm, right? Or in our case, it's from that picker. So that is a weakness of this system. We can't say for certain that all this cotton was caused by picking, but we did the best we could. So then we moved on from that and we said, well, what if we use this as a real-time operator solution, right? You say, again, we saw some growers next to us at the station and they had high losses after they picked. And we said, well, okay, maybe they just need to slow down. You know, maybe they can change something on their picker that can do that. And so we thought maybe we could use this technology to maybe mount a camera, you know, mount something real-time that could tell guys to slow down and they might experience less losses. This test layout, it piggybacked on a presentation of Dr. Kirk's. He was looking at losses related to picker speeds. For me, the speeds that this trial was picked at didn't really matter, but they are important to note. They range from 2 to 5 miles an hour, which is 3, 5, 6, and 8 kilometers per hour. And they were picked with a John Deere 9996 six-row picker. Picker was on 38s, which is 96 centimeter row spacing. And the field test trial was in 3 separate fields, and we had 3 varieties. First was Delta Pine 1646, next one was 1851, the third one was 1835. And I've got here, it says 2 harvest timings. In one of our fields, we were only able to do 1 harvest time, and that was with the 1835. But in the other 2 fields, we split the field essentially into 2. And we harvested half the field 9 days after defoliation, and we harvested the other half 25 days after defoliation. The purpose of doing that was to try and, you know, incorporate all the natural effects we could get. In that time period, cotton got rained on, right? Cotton kept desiccating, kept drying out. So we said, we're going to try and simulate what could happen if maybe somebody couldn't get into the field for a while, right? Maybe they had a storm come through that kept their cotton where they couldn't pick it. In terms of loss collection, it says 99-96 six-row pickers, Pro 13 head. We only collected data on the center 4 rows of those passes. We had an 8-foot sample area length, and basically what we did is we drew a line. We snapped a line through the entire field. We had 2 8-foot poles, and we'd lay them down. We got 4 rows and half of the middle on each side. And next part we did all by hand. We went out and we actually collected the losses hands and knees style, and we put all of the losses that were on the ground in one bag and all the losses that were on the plants in the other bag. We thought those might matter. You know, we said, okay, maybe we can calculate on plant losses in one model and on ground in another one, but we'll get to that in a few minutes. All of our losses were collected within 3 days of planting because same thing, you know, we didn't want drift from adjacent plots. The picker to run through, we didn't want rain or wind to wash plots from those 2 rows we didn't get data on into our sample zone. We then collected the losses. We removed the moisture. We put it in a dryer. We left them in there. All of them were in there at least 7 to 10 days just to make sure there was no residual moisture. And then we removed all the foreign material, right? Seeds and stems and sticks and all that stuff. We picked it out, and we tried to remove as much sand as we could because that would artificially inflate our weights. So the overall timeline is the big picker, 99-96, ran through the field, and then we flew the UAV, and then we went and collected the losses. So there was no before and after loss collection, right? There was no subtraction. There was no classification. This is just simply using the drone imagery to make our regression model. So the images were captured with a DJI Phantom 3 Advanced, and it's got a 12-megapixel camera. It's RGB, just like your cell phone. It's not multispectral, hyperspectral, just, like I said, anything like you've got on your cell phone. We flew it about 11 meters, 35 feet or so. That allowed us to get a resolution, I believe, a half a centimeter per pixel, which is pretty good. And all of our imagery was from the nadir perspective, which basically means the drone was looking straight down. The camera was rotated 90 degrees. It wasn't a, you know, we weren't going for plant height or anything. We were just trying to look straight down and see the cotton on the ground. Like I said, the imagery was captured the same day as the cotton was picked. That was because we knew if we left it out there long enough, we would have artificial cotton coming into our plot areas, and that's not what we wanted. And we also didn't want to have any late opening bowls that might have opened up between picking and loss collection. Another thing on that topic, we did not collect hardlock bowls because we figured those weren't harvestable bowls anyway. They weren't going to get picked by the picker. So for this study, we did not consider those as losses. After we collected the imagery, we flew the drone in it's called a mosaic pretty much. Like the drone flew back and forth in a grid and it captured images throughout the whole field. It took around 800 pictures of this field, and this field's not much over 6 or 7 acres. It took about 45 minutes per flight. Again, at 11 meters, 35 feet, half centimeter per pixel. One thing that was important was the overlap that we'll get to in a second. We had 60% vertical overlap and 80% horizontal. Normally, I prefer to go a little higher, do 80 and 80, but because of this low elevation, we had to back it off, and that actually did end up affecting our results. Finally, we stitched all the images together using OpenDroneMap, which is open source software. You can stitch mosaics of anything. You can do 3D reconstructions, point clouds, things like that. Now, this is what I was talking about with the stitching. Here we've got two images of the exact same plot. Mouse is here somewhere. There it is. You can see that because there's a weed or some type of residue in both images, highlighted there. However, if you look at the colored circles, you'll see that there's distinct differences in those exact same areas. I'd like to focus on the one, the blue circle down there. The left image, what we did is we took the whole field in the orthophoto, we zoomed it in Photoshop, and clipped out just our plot. And we saved that as its own unique image. And the image on the right, what we did is we took all of those unique images that went into the mosaic, right? So we took one of those 800 pictures that best depicted the plot that we were looking at, and we loaded that in. If you notice, the image on the left, supposed to be the same as the image on the right. In the blue circle, there's no cotton, right? On the right, you can see a few bowls here. Same with the red and orange circles. What we discovered is that using this open drone map software with a lower overlap percentage caused smudging and blurs and overall missing content in our images. And we said, well, how much does that matter? And it turns out it actually mattered a lot. So, like I said, that's a side effect of the structure for motion process. The drone wasn't able to capture images fast enough with that higher overlap, so we backed that off in hopes of making better images, and we ended up with a new method to do it. Once we got all these images, we had to do something with them because pictures worth 1,000 words or a 12-megapixel image is worth 12 million lines of data. So we analyzed each of these images using batch load image processor, and that was software written by Dr. Kirk. And what it does is it scans each pixel in the image from left to right, and it extracts the values shown below, the red, green, blue color space values, as well as the brightness, hue, and all those other values shown there. They're derived from those red, green, and blue calculations. Then what the software will do is it'll average those values for each image and output it to a CSV for further processing. And those output columns became our terms for the regression model. So when we first started, we ran a bunch of models, and we found the terms that showed up most often were red, green, blue, brightness, and hue. And we said, that's great. You know, that gives us a decent model, but how can we do better? And we said, okay, we can split each of those values into what we call bins. So we basically took the value that we had and divided it into a number of divisions. The red, green, and blue divisions came from the 0 to 255 values that those colors can have. We split that into 32 divisions, so each bin, if you will, would have 8 values within it. Brightness and hue obviously don't go from 0 to 255, but we used a division across the range of which those existed. And then it says here we used a percentage of the total pixels within each bin calculated by blip. From that, we generated a histogram, essentially. And this histogram shows us the percentage of pixels that are within each bin. And we fed all of those bins into the regression. So now instead of just having red, green, and blue, we've got red 0, red 1, red 2, red 3. And just to interpret this, this histogram is saying that 0 percentage of our image pixels in this image were in the first red bin. Wherever on the 21st red bin, we had almost 10%. So that's incredibly helpful, actually, in analyzing these images, because you can see what you can see from the drone, but you might not always see all this there. In terms of the actual regression models, we ran our stats in JUMP version 14.3. We wanted, obviously, to give this regression model as many things to pick from, as many places to look for valuable terms as we could. So in order to do that, we gave it some transformations. We used square root, square, cube root, cube, natural log, base 10, plus 1, and reciprocal. And we had to use log plus 1 because there were a lot of zeros, like the zeros percentage, can't take a log of 0. So we then split our data into an 80-20 train and test data set. And that was to just ensure that the model wasn't tested on the same images it was trained on, right? We had we started with around 100 points, but after that 80-20 split, we were left with around 80 to actually run our model on. In order to get rid of multicollinearity, we eliminated all values with a VIF of greater than 5, and we eliminated outliers and influential points if they had a Cook's distance value of greater than 1. And one thing important to note about that is after we eliminated those values, we started the regression over without that point involved, just to make sure it was completely out of the way and make sure that we were making as clean of a model as we could. Lastly, we were all going for the 95% significance value, so all values had a p-value of less than 0.05. This first results slide represents that what we call the mosaic clip imagery, right? This is where we loaded the mosaic full size into Photoshop and removed just the area we were looking for. You can see we had 90% of our predictions, and this is seed cotton predictions, 90% of our predictions were within 80.4 kilograms per hectare. And that gave us an R squared of about 0.67. So okay, but not great. When we moved to that raw imagery where we just looked at the images that went into the mosaic, our R-squared went up to 0.84, which is obviously better, and our prediction losses went down to about 63 kilograms per hectare of seed cotton. So we went from 80 to 60. But like any regression model, this is going to have limitations. It doesn't know what it's not been shown. So in our situation, we had some plots that were in the shade. We weren't able to account for that. The second was some bush hog cotton. That wasn't in its training data set either, nor was unpicked cotton. So all of those gave us values that we weren't quite expecting, but it does make sense based on the regression used. Same with different image elevations. These were flown at 35 feet. When we flew it at 60 feet, same field, didn't really work at all. But that's to be expected with a simple regression. So in conclusion, the regression was capable of predicting losses to some degree. In order to do it better, we need more data points, obviously, and more samples. And the regression was not capable of qualifying losses. Like we originally said, we wanted to be able to do on-plant and on-ground, but that wasn't able to happen. That would obviously be a good application for a neural network or a machine learning application where you could take more into account than just your pixel values. Last slide, I'd like to acknowledge everybody that helped with this project. It was a lot of manual labor to pick cotton off the ground for a few days, a few weeks. This was made possible by South Carolina Cotton Board, both the Precision Ag and General Farm crew at the Edisto Rec, and finally a outstanding group of seniors from the Clemson Agricultural Mechanization and Business Program who unknowingly volunteered their time to come pick cotton off the ground. So with that, I'll take any questions, and I'd love to talk to you more if we run out of time.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.